Luke chapter 24, verse 32, the Word of God says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Let's pray. Father, it's been such a wonderful service so far. Our cups are full. And now we just ask for you to top it off by teaching us from your word this powerful truth that we can understand and know how to be motivated, captivated by you, and have our hearts burn within us. Give me the words to say and us ears to hear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a long service already. We're grateful for what God accomplished. We had the Lord's Supper and testimonies, wonderful songs. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday evening. Typically, when we have the Lord's Supper, I preach a shorter message, usually around 20 minutes or so. I'm not going to keep you too long tonight, but I want to give you a thought from the Scriptures that I think would be a help to us. We look at Luke chapter 24. This is enclosed in the events that took place on the resurrection day. The beginning of Luke chapter 24, like the other Gospels, details the resurrection of Christ. For example, the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." They come, these ladies come to basically honor Christ by attending his grave. And when they got there, they were surprised that Jesus wasn't there. They're met by two angels who tell them in verse 5, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth," so the ladies see these angels and they just kind of fall to their face and bow down. They're overcome by what they're seeing. And the angels say, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Verse 8, "And they remembered his words." You got to understand, at least three times in the Gospels, it's recorded that Jesus Christ told his disciples, "I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again." And they just couldn't process this. Remember, they were looking, the Jews themselves, and even the disciples were looking for a political savior. And they couldn't process this, the Messiah dying. That wasn't part of their thinking. They just couldn't take it in. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he had to remind them, "This is exactly what I told you would happen." And they remembered his words. Well, wouldn't our lives be a lot better if we would just remember the words of God? If when we forget God's words, we forget what we're supposed to do, we forget what God's told us, our lives are hurt by that. And we make bad decisions and become foolish in our activities and imaginations. And so we've got to remember the words of God. Matter of fact, even after Jesus was resurrected and he made himself known to the disciples, he's been around for 40 days. He's met all of these people. He's prepared the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, they're walking to the place where Jesus is going to physically rise up into heaven. He couldn't die again. He'd already died and rose again. He's in his glorified body now, not bound by the laws of physics as we know them. He's getting ready to just rise up into heaven and ascend to heaven. And Peter on the way asked, "Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom?" Peter's still thinking about the kingdom. "Lord, hey, when's all this stuff going to happen where, you know, you're going to come down to earth and you're going to be the king of the earth and you're going to set everything straight and you're going to make all the evil pay and you're going to rule from Jerusalem?" And the Lord's like, "Peter, it's not time for that yet. We have to evangelize the world." And it's in that portion of Scripture we find the beautiful Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." And the disciples had to learn, no, God's not going to set up his kingdom. He wants people to be saved right now. And the reason why the Lord tarries even now is because he wants time for us to get the gospel to more people so they can have their sins forgiven and go to heaven too. We find the morning of the resurrection, all of this activity is happening. There's multiple threads of stories happening that are revealed by the gospels. But there's an interesting account that only occurs in the book of Luke about on the afternoon, Sunday afternoon of the resurrection day, there's two people walking down the road and they have an encounter with Jesus. These disciples are walking to a place called Emmaus, and it takes a little bit of time to get there. As they're walking along, Jesus shows up. And at first, they don't recognize it's him because, again, he's in his glorified body. He veils their knowledge. And he has a discussion with them after several hours. He leaves. And these disciples are left, these two men that just spent hours with the risen Christ. They ask this question, did not our hearts burn within us? Think about that. Does your heart burn with what God is doing? It's sad today. I have never known a day in my 47 years of life that there's been so much apathy. There's been so much of people just not caring about anything. People just don't care. What's a thing that kids say a lot? I don't care. Sometimes my kids will say, you know, we'll be talking about something, they'll say, I don't care. And I'll say, don't say that. And they're like, well, Dad, I don't mean it like disrespectfully. I just mean it that I meant to say this. And I said, well, you can say that, but don't say I don't care, because that's a bad habit to get into. I don't care. You know what? You should care. We should care. There's a lot of things in the world to care about. Generations of people now are just, they don't care. The elderly, you know, they're tired. They've lived. They're seeing all the craziness in the world. And can we be honest? If you've been alive for 60, 70 plus years, you're just like, I'm ready to go to heaven. You know, I wouldn't mind leaving this place. There's some terrible stuff going on. I just want to go home. But you got to make sure that in your desire to go to heaven that you don't stop caring and you don't stop working to make things better. Children today, teenagers, young adults, I don't care. How are you going to get a job? I don't care. What are you going to do about it? I don't care. What about your education? I don't care. I guess we'll do this and we'll try this, and if that doesn't work, where's the ambition? Where's the desire to learn and to grow and to become something? Boy, sitting on the couch all day watching TV and Netflix and streaming, boy, that's not a very good life. And by the way, you don't feel good about yourself when you're done. You know, kids today and young adults, they sit around smoking pot, dreaming about this and that. And boy, that just makes all the problems go away. No, it doesn't. It just makes your problems worse when you get sober. You know, the drugs, the alcohol, people trying to forget about things, trying to escape. Where's the ambition? Where's the motivation? Where's the burning heart that says there's something I need to do? There's something I need to become. I don't want to live like everybody else around me. I don't want to just be a vegetable that walks through life. I don't want to be some kind of zombie that just stumbles through life looking for the next pleasure, the next high, the next paycheck. It's not how I want to live. Right. And even good people, we get stuck in a rut, don't we? You go to work, eat lunch, finish work, go home, do what you need to around the house, run errands, go to bed, get up in the morning, go to work, come home, do what you need to do, run errands, go to bed. And when you get stuck in that rut, you lose the reason why you're alive. And people begin to wonder, why am I even here? There's got to be something more to life than just working and making money and paying bills. And I'm glad to tell you, there is something more to life. There's a reason why you're here. And although we all should take care of our earthly responsibilities. And by the way, Christians should do it as well or better than anybody else. We should work hard to rear our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when we get home from work, it's not that we're done, it's that the true job starts. Guys, when you get home from work, you got to start being dad again. You got to be a husband. You got to engage when you go home, not disengage. And same thing with moms. You ought to be the best mom. At work, you ought to be the hardest worker. You ought to strive to be easy to get along with. You ought to see what you can do to help in the community. We ought to strive to be the best by God's grace in every area in which God has us. But at the same time, there's got to be more to life than just stumbling through this place waiting till we die. And I'm glad that there is something called the will of God. There's a reason why you're here. And you can break out of that rut. You can break out of that depression. You can break out of that discouragement by learning to get some heartburn. And that's the message tonight in the last few minutes we have. How to get heartburn. How would you like that? Number one, pizza late at night. Number two, you know, there's a lot of ways to get heartburn. But we're talking about getting heartburn in here. How do you get your heartburn back? How do you care again? How do you get to the place where you're fired up on the inside? You're excited about life. You've got a reason to get up in the morning that's beyond what this world has to offer. And we find it in this story. These two men are walking away from Jerusalem to a neighboring town called Emmaus. It's a multiple-hour walk. And they're discouraged. They can't believe what just happened. All this stuff with just a week ago, they were heralding Christ to the triumphant entry, what we would call Palm Sunday. The streets were lined as Christ rode in on the foal of a donkey, and people were hailing him and praising him, and just a week later, he's hanging on a cross, dying as a criminal. The whole town had gone nuts. The same people that were calling him the blessed son of David are now crying, crucify him, crucify him. The whole city had been turned on its side. Disciples were discouraged and confused. The town couldn't believe, what about this Jesus? I thought he was healing people. I thought he was preaching good things, and now they killed him. He's dead. Was he a criminal? All of these things happened. And don't forget, when Jesus died, some miraculous things happened. When Jesus gave up the ghost to die, the veil in the temple rent in twain. That shocked the Jews and the priests and the Sadducees. Don't forget, when Jesus died, he died on a hill surrounded by graves. When he died, when life surrendered to death, there was a mass resurrection of the surrounding graves where all these people that had been dead are now alive. So Jesus is dead hanging on the cross. The veil in the temple rents in two. Now there's all these people walking out of the graves, and they're not zombies. They're in their right mind, and they want to see their wives and their children and their grandchildren. The whole city had just been turned upside down, and these people are confused and trying to give meaning to it all. You ever been there? What's this all about? I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what to think. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next. But then a stranger meets them on the road. I want to give you three simple steps about how to get your heartburn back. Number one, talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. We would call it prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Look what happens in verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3,000 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. See, they're trying to reason this. They're trying to figure it all out. But while they did that, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So a stranger walks up and starts talking to him. It was Jesus, but they couldn't see that. He had veiled their eyes. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are what? Sad. Confused. Sad. astonished, overwhelmed. Look what happens. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, by the way, his wife was at the cross in John chapter 19, verse 25. We won't take time to look at it. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And he, Jesus, said unto him, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, a political savior. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. He goes on. See, Cleopas is just telling Jesus what's on his heart. Verse 22, Yea, and certain men also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. See, Cleopas is just vomiting on Jesus with words. Hey, guys, what's bothering you? Why are you so sad? Here's what's wrong with me. You ever talk to somebody and they just need to get it all out? You know the best person to talk to when you're struggling is Jesus. You know the best person to talk to when you don't know what to do? Jesus. Best person to talk to when you're discouraged, you're confused? Jesus. I'm here to help you. I'm happy to help you. Your brothers and sisters are here to help you. We're glad to give you a shoulder to cry on. But dear friend, you've got to learn to talk to Jesus. You say, how do you talk to him? You talk to him as a friend would talk to a friend. I talk to him all the time. You ever see me walking around Shaw's talking to myself? You know, I'm having a conversation. I'm not really talking to myself. I'm talking to the Lord. I got a nap this afternoon. It was glorious. Doesn't usually happen on Sundays. My wife said, Are you going to be able to take a nap? I said, I think. Went to sleep for a little bit. My wife always says, I am amazed at how quickly you can fall asleep. It's a gift. I'm just blessed in that way. Amazing, I don't put myself to sleep when I'm preaching. I'm good at putting other people to sleep. I don't put myself to sleep. I got a nap this afternoon. But you know what I did as I was drifting off? I was talking to Jesus. I was thanking him for the day, thinking about all the people that came, all the good things that happened. I was telling Jesus what was on my heart. You know what I did when I woke up before? I'm just waking up. I'm not even awake yet. You know what I was doing? I was talking to Jesus. You know what I did before I came to church tonight? I was talking to Jesus. My wife's really struggling right now. There was a question whether or not she's going to have to go to the hospital this afternoon. The kids are concerned about her. We're weighing what to do. Always weighing. I say, what do you do about it? I talk to Jesus. Financial troubles, talk to Jesus. Pain in your own heart, worried about the future, talk to Jesus. See, what happens is when you talk to Jesus, you not only take that stuff that's on your heart, that heaviness on your heart, you talk to Jesus, it lifts that weight off of you. When you talk to Jesus, he replaces your worry and your fears with strength and peace. How do you get your heartburn? You talk to Jesus. What'd they do next? They listen to the Word of God. Look at verse 25. Jesus begins talking. Who's Jesus? The Son of God. Matter of fact, he's the living Word of God. Look what it says in verse 24. Then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus rebukes them. You guys, you know what your problem is? You don't believe the Word of God. You know what a lot of our problem is? We don't believe the Word of God. So Jesus begins to tell them and remind them what God's word says. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a Bible lesson. What a preaching. The living word of God preaching the written word of God to people. And notice what it says. He went through all the scriptures. Jesus Christ, on this multiple hour walk, went through every Old Testament reference that talked about the Messiah and explained to them why Jesus had to die and be received into his glory. You know what will help you get your heart burned? Number one, talk to Jesus. Number two, listen to God's word. This Bible, dear friend, it's your rock. It never changes. Your situation will change. Everything in this world is constantly changing. This is the rock upon which we build our lives. It never changes. And I know it's hard because we think we know better sometimes, but the Bible knows better than you do. And I know it's hard because we say sometimes, well, the Bible's an old book and doesn't really speak to my situation. Yes, it speaks to your situation. This book is more relevant than what's going to be on the 10 o'clock news tonight. It's as up to date as anything in the world. It is a supernatural book that can help you in any circumstance. Maybe you don't know how to get out of it what you need. That's why you have preachers and other godly people around you, just like I had. And I still ask people questions. Sometimes I come to a question in the Bible, so I'll go to older preachers and ask them, hey, what are your thoughts about this verse? Explain to me what God's taught you. And we'll have a conversation about it. None of us ever get to the place where we know the whole Bible. Sometimes we need to go to others and say, hey, teach us what God's taught you. And then once you see it, you can't unsee it. Have you ever seen something in the Bible? It's like, wow, it was there the whole time. Why didn't I ever see that? That's life-changing. It is life-changing, and it was there the whole time. But imagine how many other things are in there that would change your life today if you'd just find them. You want to get your heart burned? Number one, talk to Jesus. Number two, listen to the Word of God. Number three, stay in God's presence. Here's the mistake we make. We visit God on the weekends, and then we don't visit him all week long. I'm glad you're in church today. You did a good job coming to church this morning. You did a great job coming to church tonight. Some of you will come to church Wednesday night. Every time you come to church, you get a dose of what God has for you. You'll leave feeling lighter and stronger and better. But if you just ate two or three times a week, do you think you'd be strong physically?
Not really.
No. You need to learn to stay in God's presence. And that means you need to fight for it. You need to fight to stay in God's presence. Look what happens here in these final verses we'll look at. Look at verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, so they finally make it to Emmaus. And he, Jesus, made as though he would have gone further. Now realize, they still don't know it's Jesus. All they know is being in the presence of this stranger is life-changing, and they hadn't had enough. So Jesus, like a gentleman, he's just going to keep walking. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time. By the way, can I tell you, God wants to spend time with you, but he'll let you neglect him if you want. He'll keep walking if you've got other things to do. Look what the disciples did in verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. They said, no, please don't leave. Please don't leave us. We want to be with you. We want more time with you. And dear friend, what we need is more time in the presence of God, not less time. The Bible says about church attendance, so much the more as you see the day approaching. All of us agree that the world's getting crazy out there. You know what you need? You need more church, not less church. So many Christians today, churches are canceling services and and given all kinds of reasons, and Christians are saying that well, they just want to not go to church as much. Dear friend, that's the exact wrong thing to do if you want to have a strong testimony and be a strong Christian and get everything that God's had for you. Church is one of the ways that we maintain a godly testimony as we encourage one another in the things of the Lord. But we can't have church every day. I'd love to show up in the morning at your house and have a discussion about the Bible, but I'm not coming. Right? I need a day off. You know what I'm going to do in the morning? I'm going to sit in the quietness of my house. I'm going to get up before everybody else. I'm going to sit there with a nice cup of coffee in the quiet. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to Jesus. I'm going to listen to his word. And I'm going to fight for time with him. Oh, the dogs need this, and this needs this, and the kids need this, and oh, this thing happened, and that thing happened, and the phone's ringing, and all the things you remember to do. And dear friend, if you're going to spend time with Jesus, you're going to have to fight for it. If you're going to make time for church, you're going to have to fight for it. If you're going to read your Bible every day, every Christian should try to read a chapter of the Bible a day. I know it's hard. Maybe you're not good at reading. I know it's difficult, but every single Christian should start their day with something of the Bible going into them. If you're not a good reader, there are apps on your phone nowadays where you can listen to the Bible on your phone as you're going along, and even reading along with it if you want, or just listening to it. It's a life changer. But you're going to have to fight for that. You're going to have to fight for time and prayer. You know what happens if you stay in the presence of God long enough? The heart begins to burn. You know what happens when your heart burns? You've got a reason to live. You've got a reason bigger than going to work and making money and paying the bills. You've got joy and peace that doesn't come from what this world has to offer. It literally changes everything. But as Christians, there are times when our heart burns, and there's times when we get kind of cold, isn't there? If you fill this cup full of hot water, and you just set it here, in the process of time, what's going to happen? Going to get to be room temperature. You know that a lot of Christians are room temperature because they don't have the burn. This world is doing everything it can to pull you down to room temperature, make you like everybody else. Just follow along. Just get along. Just go with the flow. But you want to have hot water, you got to keep putting heat to it, don't you? If you want to have a hot heart, you got to keep putting heat to it. What's the heat? Talk to Jesus, listen to God's word, fight for his presence. And you and I can say, like these men did not our hearts burn within us? You know what they did? It's nighttime. They just walked for several hours. Jesus supernaturally disappears. Remember, he's in his glorified body. They start talking to each other. They turn around and walk back in the dark to Jerusalem to tell people what's going on. It's dangerous to walk in the dark. But you know, when your heart burns, you'll do things other people won't do. When your heart burns, they had to go tell the other disciples. And a church with a burning heart, a Christian with a burning heart, is the Christian that makes a difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth that we heard this evening. We give you great thanks. Help our hearts to burn as we follow these truths. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We take a moment of reflection and response. What's going on in your life? Boy, life gets tough, doesn't it? Things get heavy. The unknown happens. Pressure, stress, difficulty.